Good morning, everyone. I'm Ajay Nair, and I'm an associate professor in the Department of Horticulture. And I work on reduced tillage systems, especially with vegetable crops, of how to manage weeds and how to work with these cover crops in such systems. And the first thing which I want to say is I'm really happy that you are here and not there. Like, right? I mean, you could be doing this. There could be some bumpy rides out there, but I'm very happy that you are here to learn about cover crops. So, getting into the reduced tillage systems, we all appreciate that system for many reasons. You can see the classic picture here which shows a no cover crop scenario, where if there is no cover crop in the fall, rain, snow, wind, you can have a lot of erosion of the topsoil. So with reduced tillage systems, the aim is to reduce erosion, reduce runoff, increase soil organic matter over a period of time, improve soil structure, weed management, and that is what I'll be focusing more today, because I think it's working in some cases, but we still need to tweak that system so that it's more effective. And so certainly it enhances the sustainability of any production system when there is a cover crop component to it. So for reduced tillage systems, cover crops are the key. Because it is absolutely critical that you have a good stand establishment and a good cover crop seeded in the fall, especially for northern states, Midwest where I am. Unless you have a good cover crop seeded and established, it's very difficult to have a decent biomass next spring so that the cover crop can help with weed suppression and other properties. And as we look around, you know, one of the cover crop that stands out for such systems is cereal rye. It's well adapted for our weather conditions, produces decent biomass, and, you know, has a decent C2N ratio so that it degrades slowly over the growing period. And I see a lot of familiar faces here who have worked with cover crops and reduced tillage systems, and you all would agree with me that establishing a good cover crop stand is critical. Seeding, and this is a dilemma, especially for vegetable growers. If you are growing a crop which is a longer duration crop, let's say tomato or winter squash or pumpkin, your fields are not done by mid-September, and that's the ideal time for us to seed a cover crop for cereal rye, for good establishment. So it's always a dilemma, okay, if I'm following a long season crop, how do I fit this cover crop in that system? So oftentimes the seeding gets pushed to end of September, sometime even into October. Cereal rye is pretty benign that it still does okay, but that's a challenge. So that's why I wrote there weather and crop permitting. We need to make sure our cropping systems are designed such that we have an ability to integrate a cover crop in there, especially the cereal rye. With cereal rye, oftentimes interacting with growers and talking to other folks who have interest in this cover crop, they always or most often talk about how resilient this cover crop is. You have to be careful, especially at the time of seeding. So this is a cover crop stand which we had to seed twice. So this is the second seeding. When the first time I seeded it, I used a tie pasture pleaser. You saw it in the previous picture. But the seeding depth at some of the locations, some sites, went to about 1.5 to 2 inches. Nothing emerged. And you talk to growers, they would say, oh, rye is great, no problem, it will come out. It doesn't come out if it's too deep. So it's very critical that we have the right seeding depth and the moisture. Without moisture, certainly any cover crop you think of would not perform to the level of performance we want them to perform. And in reduced tillage systems, the challenge comes in the spring. You have a good cover crop established in the fall, but when it comes time to manage that in the spring for organic and sustainable production systems, especially interest growing in the area of roller crimping so that you can crimp the cover crop and keep the residue on the soil surface to manage weeds in such systems, it's ideal to terminate the cereal rye cover crop using a roller crimper when the rye is at enthesis. And for our weather conditions, enthesis varies. It starts, you can see, somewhere from mid-May until the end of May. So there's a 2-week window where enthesis can happen. And enthesis is the critical factor when it comes to killing or terminating the cereal rye with roller crimper. You need to make sure that the pollens are flying, as in this picture you see. And that brings a challenge of does the seeding time does the moisture in the fall affect the enthesis time of cereal rye? Because if the enthesis is pushed later, let's say end of May, then the planting window is pushed later. And so you might not be able to grow some crops which you would have thought of growing early in the season. So it's a challenge. Roller crimper, I met Gladys from Rodale, and this is a system which they developed, the chevron pattern plate to terminate the cover crop. Does a great job, especially when you have the right weight on it with the right amount of water. You can see the water being filled in the roller crimper. And some things to know or be aware of is avoid. I mean, we have learned this many ways through grower experience, through our own experience as well. Avoid crimping in the direction you drill your cover crop. So let's say in this example, we seeded a cover crop, didn't do that well. The biomass is less. We drilled, roller crimped in the same direction we drilled, and you can see a lot of open spaces, and that's where the weeds are going to germinate. So certainly be careful. Try to crimp in the opposite direction. This question also comes up on and off about should the roller crimper be in the front or should it be at the back? I prefer the roller crimper to be at the front because if you keep it at the back, there is a chance that the cover crop that is in the track of the tractor tire may not get crimped. It does get crushed, but doesn't get crimped. So there is a chance that cover crop can come back. Usually the weight of the tractor will do it, will terminate, but there is a chance that that cover crop might not die, or might die very slowly and might go to seed. So front is better. This is our plot, the experiment I'm going to talk about. Before we were terminating, we had some growers out there to show them how the roller crimper works. We try to be at 2 to 3 miles per hour speed. This is slow. You can go a little bit more faster. The tractor driver might have a bumpy drive if it's too fast, but 2 to 3 miles per hour lays down the cover crop really well, crimps it at about three locations, and so that cover crop is not going to come back. Growers also ask that, do I have to crimp twice? In our experience, just one pass is good enough. It does a good job. So that brings to the experiment which we conducted over the last 2 years, the purpose of which was to investigate the effect of the seeding or the planting date of cereal rye and the rye cultivars. There are many rye cultivars that are available now to growers. So how do those two factors affect the crop performance, the characteristics of the cover crop, the CN ratio, the enthesis date, and weed suppression? I always tell growers, try to stay away from VNS, and if you all know, variety not stated, in which you don't know what the cereal rye is. It's a cereal rye, but you don't know what it is. So try to stick with the right cultivar. So this experiment was conducted 2 years. We seeded in 2015 fall, so 2016 was a growing season in 2017. Split plot, randomized complete block design. We selected five cereal rye cultivars, Aroostook, Elbon, Prima, Wheeler, and Renz Abruzzi. And the reason of selecting these cover crops was based on the survey done in Iowa and some growers in Indiana and Illinois of the cover crops they are using. So these cover crops came up many times. We went with 110 pounds per acre seeding rate. With a 90% germination, you would be right at that 100 pounds per acre rate. And the two seeding dates we opted for was mid-September, being more optimistic that the tomato harvest will be done by that time, and another scenario where your crops are still in the field and you are only able to seed mid-October. So two different seeding dates. A little bit about the cultivars. Aroostook was developed by the NRCS, the Cornell University, and the Maine Department of Agriculture. You can see the region where it's grown, very cold hardy. And so Iowa also has a cold winter, so we thought, okay, Aroostook would be a good candidate to evaluate. Elbon developed from Oklahoma, Wheeler is from Michigan State, Renz Abruzzi, it's more southern, from Georgia and mostly grown in Florida and other states. And Prima is a cultivar that has been developed from Canada, and so a bit more cold hardy. And it's ergot resistant. We don't have any issues with ergot on cereal rye, but we thought, okay, let's try something from Canada too to see how that performs in our condition. So this is the fall of 2015. We thought we'll use this very simple approach, use a drop-down cedar. It's Gandy, like it's a turf cedar actually, and pulled with a John Deere Gator. And then after the seeding in the fall, we did go back after the seeds germinate and put a small quadrat, two quadrats in each treatment to look to count the number of seeds that emerged. And we kept the same quadrat there. We went back in the spring to look at how much of the cover crop overwinters. What's the percentage of cover crop that did not? And this is what the cover crop looked like in 2016. So this is the next year. And you can already see some differences. This is Prima to your left. It's a little short. And Renza Bruzi and Arus took some other cover crops a little bit more taller, all seeded on two different dates. And this is some data on Enthesis. And you can see the two planting dates, September 16th and October 13th in 2015. Percentage winter kill. Now, this is very interesting. We did not have much of a winter kill, which is good. You know, it ranged from anywhere from 5 to 10%. Arus took about 4% winter kill if seeded in October. If it was September, about 8%. So we are still in a good range where we are not concerned about the winter kill of these cover crops. And these are, this is cereal rye. It should overwinter. But we wanted to see what amount of crops do not grow or don't make it. The date of Enthesis is this data is really interesting to look at. Irrespective of the planting date, which is 1 month apart, mid-September and mid-October, you can see the Enthesis for all the cultivars fell between the 17th of May to 22nd of May. So within 5 days, irrespective if it was seeded in September or if it was seeded in October. So Enthesis was very close by. Now there are reasons why this happens. This is a typical rye characteristic. When it gets that 14 hour per day daylight, the plant goes to flowering. So it's more day length related response when it comes to Enthesis. So planting date doesn't have any effect on when the crop is going to come to Enthesis. Maturation date of cereal rye, it varies according to moisture. So it will go to Enthesis, but what about the maturity of the seeds in there? That is more moisture dependent. And that's not in our hand. You know, spring, it's very variable in terms of how much rainfall we get. But this is an interesting thing to know about cereal rye as we delve more into it. So in the spring, we went in there, we took 250 centimeter quadrats and took the biomass, just the above ground biomass. And this is the data from 2016. You can see the whole plot factor, which is the planting date. There is no significant difference, between 9 to 10,000 kilogram per hectare. That's the amount of biomass that was generated. There are some differences in cultivar. Arus took about 10,000 kilogram per hectare. Renza Bruzi about 10,000. So they did pretty well when it comes to biomass. And Prima was the lowest. You can see about 8,500 kilogram per hectare. So some differences in biomass in 2016. How does the CN ratio fare out? There were some differences in the carbon to nitrogen ratio as well. And with cover crops, you know, we want to be on a higher side so that the cover crop doesn't disintegrate faster. It stays on the surface. And you can see here, Arustuk and Elbon, again, higher CN ratio. Prima and Wheeler, a little bit lower. Now, the story was not the same in 2017. And you can see there is absolutely no significant difference. This is the second year based on planting date or the cultivar. And we removed Prima from this second year because the seeds were not available. And so we contact the breeder in Canada, and they said not many vendors are carrying it now. So we thought, okay, if the growers can't get that, there's no point of having it in there. So we removed Wheeler, and we still kept the four cultivars, but no difference in biomass and CN ratio. And you can see CN ratio is a little lower in 2017. Now, what could have happened? So in 2016, the second year when we seeded in the fall, instead of using pounds per acre, we used the count of seeds. I think that's a better approach to see, to compare, because you can see there are differences. If you look at the data, this is the count of those seeds, 30,880 for Arus 2. Weight was 744 grams. Seeds per gram is 41. Elbon seats per gram is 56. Wheeler is 34, so those seats are bigger. So we took that into effect, and we looked at how much of seeds per pound, and then we used that to seed. So we still stayed with 100 pounds per acre, but we adjusted the seeding rate based on the number of seeds and not just blank poundage, because some seeds, some cultivars will have more seeds out there and some will have less. So that could be one factor that we are not seeing any difference in 2017. And we also changed the planting method. Growers had more interest in drilling. They said they have access to drill, and why not drill rather than broadcasting? So we used a tie pasture pleaser, and that also helps with better seed-to-soil contact. So that could have attributed to the change in the biomass. We looked at the wheat biomass throughout the growing season. We took two data, one in July, one in September. The blue bar here is the July wheat biomass, and the orange is September. Between the cover crops, absolutely no difference in weed suppression. They did a good job in July. Everything was same. And let's be realistic, this, even though we have a thick mass of cover crop there, the weeds still come out. And you can see the September biomass has gone up. But no differences among treatments. I'll mention about something which I was interested to and try. I was trying to see if we could collect the light intensity in this cover crop at the surface of the cover crop and on the ground using the LICOR meter and use the light intensity data to predict the amount of biomass. Because not every grower would like to dry and collect the biomass, but if they have a light meter, can they look at the light meter and see, depending on the light, the amount of light obstructed by the cover crop, can they predict the biomass? And we did a regression. This is 2016. This 2016 was significant, R square of 0.24. You can see as the cover crop biomass increases, you can see the amount of light reduction also increased. So which means higher the biomass, less amount of light is hitting the soil surface, which means weeds will not get that light. So there is a positive correlation there with the biomass. More biomass, more light reduction. So that was interesting, 2016. 2017, not significant. There's a trend where you see higher biomass and higher light reduction at the surface of the ground. So we thought to dabble a little bit with it and need to know, work a little bit more in this and maybe collect more data to run more regression models. So conclusion, seeding time did not affect cereal rye biomass in the subsequent spring. Moisture is critical. Now, both the seeding dates, we provided moisture. We had irrigation. So for growers, it's more important to catch the rain. If you're seeding in October or September, try to do it before a rain event. So that is more critical for a cover crop establishment. No differences in cover crop biomass in 2016. There were differences in 2017, no difference, maybe because of the change in the seeding technique and using the drill. And cover crop cultivars were similar in suppressing both grass and broadleaf weeds. So cultivar had no impact. With that, I'd like to thank Brandon Carpenter, my grad student, Christine New, and John Kristen Presson. Brandon now works at the farm. He was my grad student, first grad student, and some of the funding agencies who have supported us to do this work and dabble with different cultivars of rye. My contact info is there, but I'll be happy to maybe one question, Casey. One question. Yes, sir. So it goes back to the history of the plot. This was in alfalfa before. So we did not have much of a weed issue there, but mostly it was the broadleaf, not much of the grasses. Yeah, and I'll be around to answer questions. Thank you.